might have to do the neurodenunciation. Although this spends life where Jerha found down on the issues of the British chakra and the talent. The message of pure honor was being on the tail of Mars, the one goal to shoot him. Ah, Bonnager, of course, he called Sue, Melina, my Tommy Wallet, and Nation and I'm a review. I guess the dolme on Omaha, Tabach, Nurevima, also, that we should have adult asthma. I thought I'm going to win you on top at how it's a Vyogan Vele, because I'm not going to check in Pastor Ru or Tom, one of you. As I said to the New York reader, you're not small, honey, you're short. She's a more dealer. So we are in sound of new album in New Ireland. So I'm going to, you know, mix it a little for you. It's really an absolute pleasure to be here in this very, very special place and this very benign place, because it has that. And I'm so grateful to Paul et al. For inviting me. And I was told this evening by somebody, in fact, Janice Fitzpatrick Simmons, and that name would resonate with you, and she called me up, and she didn't know where I was going, but I told her, oh, she said, you're going to love Paul. And, as you know, and I said, yes, I do, because, you know, as Harry Grant said about Liz Taylor, what's not to love? Which is a great compliment. And because, you know, 30 years, 40 years at this, and of course, there's all this wonderful thing to come back and home to, so we have to be always careful about that projection. And because, but that's, I mean, in a positive thing. And if I may, you know, Bernard Alua, as an Ashton Shim, she should burn it and make it page. A honey dear cotton knock, you know, me more heishen, or more goch on Antrochatzer. She said, do you remember about 1982, 83, you came to visit us, the square, Ishi Grua, it's on Tivel and Tour, Ibn Harriet, but well, even literally Henry Kamichbeck, on Kurmach, in the deep to demarcation. And there she is, and she just brings it all back, that particular day. And of course, I remember it so well because, you know, we always do, in the sense of, you know, our students, the people whom we meet in this passage, or, you know, it's like being here tonight and you can feel it, that benign quality. And then all the voices that we have heard. And that is what poetry is about, and that's connecting, and the things that of the shoes from the dust, and the humour, and all the different voices coming through in it, and that this has been held and protected will run him in the look for. Now, that's not, you know, who will in the sky of me or who at King Service have a fire and Scottish Mach. I was in Kutula from the Farky Hain. An auto on Hackershop and the Hoji. And it was she who civil shin. Oh, he of Kulturia, oh, he of. Then the tree of the year, he me. I just know God in the village, I thought, ex sonu. She has thought, the hound, a rock in the hound and shop. And their father in law, even when I talk to Patricia, we talk about Elizabeth Bowen, who's her cultural and literary neighbor. So there's no way you can mention the streets and the places, even to the recent time, like we talked about Montague being here, and the last time I've ever seen him. And of course, Montague was contemporary with Una Thurish, to whom I was married. And as we were talking now about age, I mean, I talked about people like Sean Thuman, Horace Tyrus, and so on. And it's almost like people talking to me, which obviously would have talked to me about Diana Corkery. And, you know, as there is a time, you marry young, and I did, then, of course, you are forever young. But there comes a time when you're not anymore. And it's a little, right? You know, they don't know what I'm talking about. That's an Al Gobs type. And you know, and that's what poetry is about. It's about so much more than the words on the page or what we hear and what we're putting it together and the image, because it is so deeply connecting. And then we're doing it over languages. And even talking to Paul, and I'm still in this reel, because for a moment we're in Zambia and then we're in Japan, which you can only imagine, and then Switzerland, and then it's Kildare. And you know, it's this incredible sense. And if you come from somewhere like Cork, I mean, for us in Galway, and I know that child is probably a bit like that to still a bit, where we look upon Cork as the flesh pots of Egypt. No, seriously, in terms of cultural richesse. Yeah! You know, you can see the merchant princes who built this wonderful city in terrain that was not easy. And, you know, we have other things in Galway, but it's not that. And, you know, Limerick has other things, Waterford has other things. What I found in Waterford the other day, which was wonderful, I found this wonderful blue plaque, which said that Geoffrey Sanson, interim of the Sanson, he lived in this house. And he studied Greek, Latin, and Arabic. And it's probably the only place in Ireland that we have such a tablet on any house. And I thought, yeah, isn't that wonderful? And, you know, all the different places, and because we're so attached to our places, whether it's the Irish, Cushcoon, wonderful title which resonates in Cork, written by Brandon O'Hawkela, who is just recently our Dean of Fiernia. And all of the places that resonate, and you hear the voices and the different accents. And that is part of the richness of what this place is. And then how it comes, almost like that Google Earth moment of coming right into the heart of the matter. I could talk to you forever like this, and I shouldn't. And but that's what it does. Now let me get myself organized. And you know, what you wrote in the Julie, that was going to meet him at, as on Red Russian, as the Cornetna. So, you know, these are going to fear of hate, they're going to fear of hate today, you know, they're the facts, the things that are on the legal documents with the guardians. And, you know, who is this one? Where did you come from? You'll find out as we go along. And, you know, sometimes the belief is that the will on the Hashanet of Fad, and I'm going to read the first poem, and I'm going to read it for granted, Nicotir, Tolchin, yes. And because of the surprise of her coming and telling me who she was, and taking me back to that time of when I was telling her students, very, very fine students, and when you think of what teachers do, my God. And we know what's happening at the moment, but we won't go there. But what they do and what they have done, and of course, it's like writing poetry. Teaching is sending messages to the moon, and sometimes you may hear back. And sometimes, even if we do buttonhole some of our former teachers, it's like, who? What year? And of course, you think that they're never going to forget us. And sometimes, thank God they do. But this is for Bernadette. I guess the Izin of the Muntuidi Iguitina, Martha Hulavina, in a wound to our Nakamot. I guess it's an unknown on Kohepchen. And I was trying to tell her students about the life that I lived as a writer with Owen at the time. This was written way back in the 70s, and this is the book that we wrote together. And dealing to Dietrich, and the Dietrich, of course, lovely Irish word for the Dietrichon, the wilderness, I suppose, rather than the desert, which would be cognate, but when we think desert, we think wonderful, hot places, but the wilderness has a different connotation in Irish. And I'm not going to translate this one at all, I'm just going to let it flow as an evening in May, the evening. And I will call in Eliot, who told me and the world that genuine poetry communicates long before it's understood. Tanona Galfna, Han Thais in the Vechna, Iguas Jera on Lay. Lin Leshu long Lysach, Fuchio Quillog on Nidin Asko Hain, Inaha Nugrinia Erspir. Miracles Corpinach, to Christian in the Netti, Ixti Avelera, Nilin Seal of Shal Saprata, Ixfidiliosko Hunan Hitza. Travel brick, unknowneth in a kilrkia, ligin an tishka a amazine is a amazine life. And it's just that moment. And I think if the scientist ones can tell me, I've forgotten the lovely Greek word for the insects who live only one day. And that's what I was thinking about. So, another moment. These are river moments, and that, you know, we lived actually in this lock house, El Marwa on the Barrow, and when we lived there, and this is going back to Jack Lynch time. God Almighty, can I even say that name here? And this is going back pre-Jack Lynch in 77, when there were such things as rates upon houses. And we lived in this house, and no county would claim it. We lived between three counties, Leash, Kildare, and Carlow. So we actually did not pay rent. But then, of course, we had no services. So we got in that by boat, and the postman couldn't get to us, and the milkman couldn't get to us. And even, I think, the special branch couldn't get to us when they hit that Harema upriver in Australia. And that's really pushing it in terms of age. And the other thing was, you couldn't have visitors without an invitation. Nobody could drop in on you. So it was wonderful for writers. And I'm just, you know, you see, when you're writing, you're not working. All of you know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, when are you going to get a decent doctorship? You know what I mean? Or as Owen would say, when he didn't have his sleeves rolled up. You know, that's kind of thing she does, we don't pass on from her. So you know what that was like. And then, of course, because you're not doing it, that, sure, they're doing nothing. Sure, we can spend half the day there. So as a new visitor with that invitation, we had to go out by boat and bring them in. And that's just, it's a moment of when the floods come. So the flood used to come at the back of the house. It was so built by the Dutch, you know, who brought this wonderful expertise with them, with William Orange. And, of course, being a Kelly from Hainani East, all the way at Oxham. And that's, I don't expect you to remember that, 1691. That was a decisive point. She was like in the Wandsley skirmish. But geographically, oh no, seriously, but geographically, you couldn't really see it psychologically and everything else. The boy is hugely important. Ockham is way far too in the deep south. And the Kellys were doing what they always did and what my father did. They were Catholic people. And they went to the William Orange people and they said, oh yeah, we'll court you all right. We'll give you the castle, but we want the hides back. And William Orange will go to hell, you're not getting them. Right? Sorry, big boy. Wrong way back. Said Ruth said, go to hell, you're not getting them, the French. And the wonderful practicality. So of course the Kellys and pointed out the entrance and shot ahead of them. And I think the rest of the buried in Kilconnell, the wonderful abbey there. But my father would always tell me as a child, oh no, it was mothers that hurt. It wasn't the Kellys. But on the positive side, we've got a wonderful phrase in Irish called Falshik Ishawe, which Avalo Orimsa Anoch Sancha. welcome to your case, because perhaps Andrew will correct me. I think, should I say about 1350, 14th century, there we go. Anyway, the then O'Kelly got kind of lonely for Christmas, so he sent out a quiver, an invitation, for the Clorch whores and all the whores and poets and all these ones to come from everywhere and spend Christmas with them. And they did. And that has given the wonderful phrase of fortune cally, because the Auckland couldn't cater for them. So what about all these tents? And half the whores never went home. So Pina Tinsir Bogar Pontrach Ixinwin I Nis Lenya Erawin Tagna Tontrach Arash Agus Lo Salas and Wale Bobrishna Chabi Nis Kondri Dan Tivis of Tanya Tan Relias Karas Rucht Nebale Galeas Water Nishen on the wind on Clavach U the Brechens Agus Nishaki Kutor on a quiver and all. Now, we're going to change the tone a little. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to read the translation for you first, and then you get a sense of what's happening. I think it was Cervantes who said that translation was like looking at a tapestry from the wrong side. This is a lovely image. And this one is called Badger on the Road, or Brocha in the Moat, which of course all times of year to be seen. And I think I saw two of the seats because I drove here. And there's something very vulnerable and very touching about that tapestry. You always seem to end up, I mean, as we call it, what? We're all killed if we're in another part of the world. And that almost cozy feeling. So, a badger is stretched on the side of the road, crouched and stretched on the side of the road. Quiet, calm, sick. So still, no movement. A poor badger who crept out in the dead quiet of the night. Another badger with her, with him. A pack of badgers in a line. Weakness of eyes, snuffling along. Their paws so careful on the even heat of the road. So light-footed, so alive. The trace of its paw was left as a signature in the mud on the edge of the road. An unbroken white line from the top to the bottom of the creature, continuing the unbroken white line from the middle of the road. Where are you going? Will they be all curled up in a cozy and a better day without you? Or will you lost be breaking their hearts too as well? So Broch er mohir Tha broch sin se la hat a mohir Cwch da sin se la hat a mohir Cúan, chalma, sliocha, hasapar sin, gan bogar. Broch boch, a deili imach, i mar fios i hige. Broch er a le i na leis. Scat a brig, i sgwynia. Lag a sŵl, eich sŵl ni i lio. Is a lafi ho cwrm o sin, yr has grwym o sin. Iantach cos eithrym, Is Lorraine a cost for Kamar Hintush, a grieb and tear boy? Lena Wan Nabrishta, O Wallach Gosol and Craig Door, a rain dollar to Lena Wan Nabrishta, in Lor and Wood. Kalpahush the Hood. I might you suffer, suffer in you, some of Kalpahus. No one might have reached a brush of grief or mine. And the lure of Julie New Arab is that in the arm and on the hashma, you know, lure is sort of Irish cliche. And I think it's certainly would have been an Irish teacher, and I ended up having more relations in New York and Boston. My grandmother had gone to Boston, and as I was telling Julie earlier, in terms of, you know, how you end up, you know, in this strange place between two languages. And she had gone, but unusual for her, she returned. She was Irish before she went. She came back in around 1900, 1901. And that was unusual to come back. And as I, you know, lived about 10, 11 miles from Baltimore City in Athenry. And then took her pony and trap later on and went into town and hired her spalpeens to work the land for her in spring and autumn, of course, to sow the plant potatoes and then to harvest the potatoes. And then my grandmother's house was a tacharnion for the spalpeen hunt, Connemara. And then later on, my aunt went and married in Connemara. Married at Cousin of O'Kane and so on. But my grandmother decided, of course, after her experience, in which we talked about that, we don't really know what that experience was, but it was a linguistic experience, it wasn't a healthy one, and therefore forget Irish and concentrate on English. And therefore it became a tongue ronda, the Chaffner reader. So the Hans and Moore, the Black Balch, the Bilge. Tina Bertrandese was pushing fashion on the Gunamata. You know, there's always this in and out. My aunt then went to Connemara, she's very young, and soon then I went to New York. And, you know, almost it became that the home was a Shangri-La. There was no way back into it after the experience of Connemara. And there wasn't. So it was amazing for me then to find her, and to find, I didn't find her, of course, I found her grave, because she died at 41. But she used to come visit me, and she used to write to me when I was a little one. And it was so fantastic to get, you know, this wonderful, you know, tissue, thin, airmail paper, and it addressed us to you out in the middle of the country. And, you know, to find the postman peddling, to get this to you, and it was just so amazing. And we had no idea, of course, what the reality of life was like. And then you got the Protestant. Now, of course, we called him everybody American Protestant. You didn't need them. So you probably send them to America, right? Marshall Aid reversed. And you got the American Protestant, of course. It was wonderful stuff that Jesus was like. It was too wonderful. And you got all these mother of pearl little, you know, bling things, little hats. That, of course, out of some kind of guilt you had to wear or you were let into and caught up the church with them. And then everybody knew that you just got the parts. And I didn't realize until I got there what it took. No air conditioning, standing on the line, the miser as it were, standing on the post office and sweltering to sense that. And then cousins of my mother would say, oh, I bought a suit and look at this. In 1942, I wore it, and I mined it, and I cleaned it, and I sent it to my sister, Bridie, and Corinne, to think, did you ever wear it? And this is what we talked about, walking down Fifth Avenue. And of course, how tough life was, it wasn't the only way at all. Anyway, I want to read you this one called The Beloved, and The Beloved, of course, resonates as wonderful, wonderful novel by Toni Morrison. And again, I'll read the English for you and then read the French. A Jewish woman asked me a question one day quite seriously. Had I read Toni Morrison? Yes, I had. And what did I think? It was worth it, I said. She was always a Jewish woman to me, even though I never said hi, Jewish woman. And I was always an Irish woman to her. Every day as we changed places and exchanged conversation and thoughts, not to mention opinions. And I was soft, young, perhaps in yet, you think, were you and Macy's yesterday? And she going home early to listen to La Boheme in full on the hi-fi, so that it would be in her head for tonight in the Met. Sam had season tickets. And are you going too? I will pre-order a glass of wine especially for you for the interval. And I will get you a cup of coffee now. Yes, I know. Black for me and half for you. Have a good day. I will see you tonight. I will bring Beloved with me tomorrow. You will get a chance to savor Toni Morrison, a particular prose rhythm. She won the Nobel Prize. And then there's a quote for her. Of course I'm a black writer. I'm not just a black writer. The melting pot never worked. We ought to be able to accept on equal terms everybody, from the Hasid to the Rastafarians. I gave her the book. She thanked me. She called me in the middle of the day, really chatty, and the phone call lasted an hour and a half, she directing conversation this way and that, making me laugh, making fun of her own life. She was enjoying Beloved. She'd almost finished it. Everything nearly finished. Beloved came back to me. A FedEx box, white and bright purple. In the doorman's hand, and a note enclosed, saying thanks, saying goodbye, the morning of her funeral. And of course what I discovered with the Jewish funeral, which was Jane's funeral, was that it's so like our own. It's very fast, it's very quick, and there's no open casket like there for all my relations. Jesus, went on for weeks. And then they sent us all these photographs that we'd want to see our relations in the open casket environment. And they thought they were doing us wonderful favours. So the Jewish funeral wasn't like that at all. And they covered the mirrors, just as we do. Kwe yudok mna cheshtar mna yintok dor jiv if you. I'm now Toni Morrison Leta. Shavi, ex kaden unas. Bu, persimisha. Kwe yudok mna yidom ilone. Kein argur tme riev, hai yudok mna. Kwe yudok mna mishu di riev, kwe la tme de asur ote. Igafu kanta sminta, kwan troch the hujne. Nasto, a wyn y sapsio craf tagi. Rau tu meisys yn hyn. Ishe galwadi gwlwa, hon eisio galwadi em ar ffad yn an hi-fi. Ond ysgymrach yn y llan ac e, don i hyn o'r symet. Digid o'n teisio, eksan. Tos ei galwadi'n ffosfa, gwyd i'n meddyn y ffyn yn oed o ddech yn ffos. Yw'n meddwl cofon cael o'r bryd yn eich Chat of Thumb, Dole Dunster is half and half Dunster. Tabogi, second and not. There's never a lot of them more. Yoy to Jesh Blush, all there's Toni Morrison. Rim Frosh, Brina, Runo Unnobel, Yeti. Hold me a nerdy, Gaushi Burfus from, where she left in law, Lord Lay. Un tachant. Dwar yn glywch gwahoen o'r gyle. Eisiau e cor yn chorw gwrw gwrw gwrw. Sy'n tro siwyd y sy'n tro sio. E bant gwrw i asyn. E bant gwrw i asyn syl hyn. Eisiau e bant tegnyf as bylobod e diodnach priach na hegi. Gat mi diodnach priach na. Honig beloved or ashagum, Oscar fed ex, gone as cottonwood yaw, alive and dormant dumb. Not if we yield, the gowl queerfish, the gowl slime, margin of sight. Now I'd better change tone, or I'll fall asleep. Mission. Yeah, errors. As you were saying earlier about the music, we repressed the hell out of each other. And this one, I think, is pertinent. I was talking to Jerry about an incredible, wonderful folk writer in Maddy Gulf, and Mary Johnson, because they never mentioned Maddy without Mary. And he preceded me in Leash as writer in residence. And that's, you know, when I got to know him. Because it so happens, you know, we live all the lives that we live. And you can go forever and as if, you know, that we live on a vast continent and not meet people. And then not meet them, you know, really meet them. Just kind of fly by them. But because Kelly had done such work in Leash, and he was a quite active forum, and yet we make our own of it, and we could talk about that as a different thing, and talk about all kinds of things. That were it not for that system, and we can kind of talk about systems and bureaucracies and arts councils and everything else, but, and the same thing with the writers and the schools and all those things, they have been good, they are good, they are positive, and they are benign. And he told me about being in London early on in his life. So, it's self-explanatory. And a full of cups, and it's for Patrick Galvin and, or Patrick Galvin and Mary Johnson. From the King's Road to Pimlico, up and down they go, in and out of shabby Notting Hill pubs, keeping up their East End, long before the low lives and layabouts joined in the fashionable flow. The period is vibrant with canned soup, transistors, Mini Coopers and mini skirts. It was all cheesecloth and Mary Quant, flats and flea markets, Mick Jagger or the Hollies, depending on how heavy you liked your rock. How could we know? How did any girl know, whether at Tottenham Court or stepping over Putney Bridge, that you had shaped their cups, pulls stretched and moulded right around the clock? It was a summer job. Double shifts and time and a half. The work ethic was chic, and the industry took on a whole new meaning. Millions of moulded white receptacles passing by in slow motion on a conveyor belt. And there was black too, pink and a kind of fleshy beige, but that was a separate section. Time in motion was a storm of possibility, and quality control most certainly had to do with lift and separate. Now Mary, when he walks down the mile, or he crosses at the Metropole, it's not the amount of newly registered cars in Cork that sets him figuring. He isn't reading the sky either, calculating the rain clouds blowing in from Mizzen. No, he's reading the cups, not the shape of things to come, rather the shape of things as they are. He knows all about our fluctuations, our A's and B's and C's and double D's, how snug they fit, how real they are. We are measured at a glance, the eye being quicker than the hand. He'll decide with a quiet smile how much work, if any, is needed on our foundations. And wheeling into Oliver Plunkett Street, there are more and more to meet, coming from cashiers, lost sizes with purchasers, where a woman had taken them into a kind of private sanctum to measure and recommend the best fit, the snuggest cup. So you know, of course, he works in a brown factory in the summer. Gurmila gives him an inappropriate